message tonight. Title of the message tonight is I Surrender All. And so went right along with that and appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, if you would. 1 Chronicles 21. I know you've heard this before, but I was reading along and trying to find something that the Lord would give for us for a message tonight. And just recently, this kind of popped out at me as I was reading it. Read it through many a times, but never saw it this way. And so let's start with verse 16 of 1 Chronicles 21. And we're going to go through the whole chapter. We're just going to read a portion of it right now as we get started. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and we'll start with verse 16. The Bible said, David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and get up on the and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out to the out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offerings, I give it all. If you underline in your Bible, you need to underline those four words, I give it all. And I want to talk tonight about I surrender all. And giving everything to Christ, there's four principles that we need to know about, we need to learn. First of all is ownership. God owns everything that we have. If we're a Christian tonight, God owns everything. And everything that we have is His. But then we need to know the principle of stewardship. He's given it to us to manage. He's asked us to manage what He has given to us. And that's our responsibility. And the third principle we need to learn tonight is that when we manage these things that God's given us, we need to give Him our best. We need to do our very best with what He is giving us, has given us. He's worthy of that. He doesn't deserve our leftovers. He deserves our best. And then the fourth principle is, why do we do this? Why do we give to the Lord? We know He gave to us. He gave us His grace. He's given it to us, and so we give it back to Him. And so we need to surrender all. Let's ask God to bless the message tonight. Father, we thank You for the time we've had together tonight. Thank You for the praises that have been brought forth, and what a blessing they've been tonight, Lord. Thank You for the good singing. Thank You for the song that Hunter sang, how well it goes along with this message tonight. And Lord, we ask You to do a work in our hearts as we look at the story of David here in Ornan. I pray You just bless it to our hearts. Help us to learn the principles You have laid out in Your Word here and help us to live by them, that our lives might be changed, that we might be an impact on the community and the people we're around every day. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity to preach it. In Jesus' name, amen. David is coming to the end of his reign. His fighting days are over. We know about David. We know that he reaped what he sowed. It's a good example to us in our lives. If we sin, we're going to reap what we've sown. And but one thing about David, and I love about David in his life, even when he did wrong, his heart was sensitive and open to the Lord. And he was willing to listen to the Lord to be able to get things right back with the Lord. And that's the way we ought to be tonight. Of course, we're going to do wrong. We're human. There's going to be things that we do that aren't pleasing to the Lord. But I'm thankful for his mercy. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. That he's willing to give us a second chance. And we can go to him, and as David did many times. But things have finally settled down in his family. He's sitting comfortable pretty much. And just ending up the reign that he's had over the kingdom. And when we get comfortable, we need to be careful, because the devil's going to come and hit us hard then. Because I want to show you, look at verse 1 with me of this chapter of our text. Look what happens here in verse 1. Things are going pretty well for David. And the Bible says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." And so we need to remember that no matter how old we are, how long we've been a Christian tonight, it doesn't matter if we've been a Christian for a short time or we've been a Christian for a long time, the devil's coming after us. Either he's coming after you right now, or he just got done coming after you, or he's going to come after you pretty soon. And so we need to realize that. And so the devil comes after David, and he provoked David. And we could spend a lot of time here just on that verse, and that's not my focus tonight, but he provoked him. And I just want to say this to folks that have been saved for a long time. We need to finish well. I've said this many a time. We need to finish well. Folks that have been saved for a long time, have a great testimony for the Lord, remember this: people are watching you. Young families are watching you. New Christians are watching you, see how you react. And we need to finish well. We need to realize that that just as Satan came up against David, he's going to come up against us. And we need to be a good example. And so it doesn't matter how long we've been saved, how spiritual we are, Satan's coming after us. We need to be sober, as the Bible says. We need to be vigilant, because the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so Satan is not done opposing Israel. He's still trying to fight against them. And we see Satan trying to destroy. And we know David's the leader. And I believe the devil's working overtime trying to destroy leadership. If you're a leader tonight, you really need to stay close to the Lord. Because what happens when the leadership is destroyed, when Satan gets in and does some things in the leadership's life, those that are following after him usually go along that way also. And so we see here that he provokes him. Now let's see what he provokes him to do. It says, he provoked David to number Israel. Now, that doesn't seem like a bad thing. We take census here every 10 years, and they number the people. I don't think God's against numbering, okay? But the Bible says that David was provoked to number Israel. So there's a problem here. We've got to realize what it is. There's nothing wrong with numbering. There's a whole book in the Bible named after that, and that's what they did. They numbered the people there in the book of Numbers. And so so we look at verse 2, and David goes to Joab and talks to him. He says, David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." Now, what he wanted to know how many men could fight. He wanted to know the ages of them, so he'd know how many soldiers he had in case they had to face another battle. And that's usually what the census was taken back then for. So they knew how many people they had in their military. If you were here Monday night, Brother Bruce preached a great message on how our country's in trouble. And one of the areas we're in trouble is that we've deleted the number of our military. And that's a scary thought for our country. And so David just wanted to know how many could fight. And the devil had convinced him of that. But look at what Joab says in verse 3. "And Joab answered the Lord, 'Make his people 100 times so many more as be. But my lord the king, are they not all thy lord's servants? Why then doth the Lord require this thing? Why will be a cause of trespass to Israel? So Joab knew something. He knew there's a problem in numbering the people, and he's warning David. Look at verse 7. Drop down to verse 7, and you can read the whole story later on. But look at what it says here in verse 7. It talks about the sum and how many they were and all those things up to verse 7. But look at verse 7. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. Again, really nothing wrong with numbering the people, finding out how many could go to battle and all those things, how many were young, how many were coming up, and all those things that he would find out in numbering the people. But the Bible says God was displeased with this thing. Only seven times in the Bible it tells us that God was displeased. That's a good study. And so he said to them, God was displeased with him, so he smote Israel. I want us to look why God was displeased. Take your Bibles and turn over to Exodus. You want to keep your finger there in 1 Chronicles because we're going to come back to it. But I want you to go to Exodus with me, chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And look with me at verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12 of Exodus chapter 30. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. And what he was saying here in this scripture, and you can read it later, that when they numbered the people, they were supposed to give a sacrifice. When they numbered the people, they were supposed to give a sacrifice for the number that there was. When they numbered the people, they were supposed to do that. We think back about what we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We see the numbering, but we'll never read about a sacrifice taking place. And so he was going against what the Bible says. And when we go against what the Bible says, when we disregard what the Word of God says, we have to pay the consequences. There's always consequences when we disregard what the Bible says. It can be in the simple things. It can be in the hard things. It can be in the things that we understand. It can be in the things we don't understand. But when we disregard the Word of God in our lives, we have to pay the consequences. And so the Bible says, back over in 1 Chronicles, that God brought a plague upon them. David was pretty much saying, these are my people. He was pretty much saying, this is my kingdom, when he didn't perform the sacrifice, build an altar like he was supposed to. He was saying, these are my warriors. But we need to remember that God's people, the children of Israel, were God's people and God's alone. If you're a Christian tonight, that's the same thing for you and I. If we're God's and God's alone. And we need to and serve him that way and realize that he deserves all the credit for what's done. He deserves all the praise. And so this thing that they did, counting the people there in 1 Chronicles 21, displeased God because they disregarded what he had told them to do. It displeased them because he didn't receive the honor and the glory from it. Now go back to 1 Chronicles, if you would. I knew at least one time that I'd say 1 Corinthians rather than 1 Chronicles, but I mean 1 Chronicles. We're not going to 1 Corinthians tonight. But look at verse 8 with me there in 1 Chronicles. I love how, again, I mentioned about David and how when he knew he did wrong, his heart was always sensitive. And that's how he's able to obtain God's grace and God's mercy in his life, because he was always concerned about how God felt about it. Verse 7 says, and God was displeased with this thing, and therefore he smote Israel. Look what David said in verse 8. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. David was always willing to admit his wrong. David was willing to say, I've made a mistake, and Lord, I need your help in this. And his heart was always tender to what God wanted to do. Well, look what happens in verse 9. I love how God always responded to David. He always sent him a preacher. And it says here in verse 9, and the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, which pretty much a preacher, saying, and Gad is speaking to David. He said, go and tell David, saying, or excuse me, the Lord speaking to Gad to tell what to tell David. Go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I have offered thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. And so God goes to Gad. He says, I want you to go talk to David, and I want you to give him three choices. And we find these three choices in verse 12. He gave him these three choices. Here's what he said to him. He said, first of all, you can have 3 years of pestilence in the land of Israel, and that's your first choice. Your second choice, you can have 3 months where the enemies will have complete dominance over the children of Israel, or you can have 3 days in the hand of the Lord. Let's read about that. Look at verse 12. Either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days, the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Duh, okay? He's made a mistake. And he's saying, I've done wrong, and I'm in a mess. I'm in trouble. But I'm thankful the choice that David made. He realized if he would let God take care of the consequences, he'd be a lot better off. And so, because he made things right with the Lord, and he said, Lord, I'll let you have the 3 days, God taught him some lessons in those things. Look at verse 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it, and as he was destroying, the Lord beheld and repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed it, it is enough. Aren't you thankful for when God says it is enough? He knows how much you and I can take. He saw the repentance. He saw that it was real, and that he was going to do more damage and more destruction, but he stopped them and said, that's enough. They've learned their lesson. They've gone through what they need to go through. We'll continue on in verse 15. It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elder of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. So David and his men, they're in mourning. They should be. 70,000 men have been killed by the pestilence and the plagues that God had brought upon the land because of their sin. And because this happened, they were in mourning when the angel of the Lord came. The Bible says they were in sackcloth and ashes, a sign and a symbol of mourning. And so in verse 17, he prayed, and we read this verse already, but he prayed that God would only punish him for the disobedience. And he wanted to be the only one to be punished for it. I'll say more about this in just a moment, but remember this. When we sin, we don't only affect ourselves. How many times have you heard me say that? We don't only affect ourselves, we affect those around us. We affect our family, we affect our church, we affect our coworkers, we affect those in our schools, whatever. When there's sin in our lives, it doesn't just affect us. Verse 18. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord into the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Because you didn't set up the altar, because you didn't set up the sacrifice when you were supposed to, I'm going to make you do it now. You're going to go you're going to go to Ornan, the wheat farmer, and you're going to ask for his threshing floor. Now there's some maybe been some little bit of awkwardness to this request. For David, have to go to do that. Probably some humbling in David's life. I think about that many times when there's sin in our lives, and we're going to get things right with the Lord, we've got to make sure we humble ourselves. We've got to make sure that we're truly sorry for what we've done. Verse 19, and David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. Ornan, all this thing's going on, all the people are dying around him. Ornan, just a simple man, just a farmer, and he's out in the fields, and he's reaping the things he had sown, and his four boys were with him. I like that. That's a little parenthesis there. A son and his four boys working well together. Boy, families are being torn apart today. Families not being able to work together, not to get along. I see it so many times. And here, this man and his four boys, they're working together in the field. And they turned around. It says Ornan turned around, and he saw the angel of the Lord. Now, I was trying to think today, as I was studying for this, what would I do if the angel of the Lord came to me? I turned around, whoa, there he was. Now, I'll be honest with you, I spent a lot of time in church, okay? Grew up across the street from the church. Me and my brothers would play hide and seek in the church, okay? Don't even do this, but me and my brothers got in trouble many times because we'd play in the baptistry. You know, we were young, and there'd be water, and then we'd go in there, and my dad couldn't find us, and he'd hear the splashing of the water, and we were in the baptistry, okay? Many times I've been in the church, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I've been in a church, and it's so dark, okay? Just trying to get something, and just walking through, and you hear noises, okay? Sometimes I've turned around and felt like I've seen somebody. They were kind of staring at me. I've told this story before, but his name slipped my mind. Little short man that used to sit right here on the third row. Mr. Paul, yes. Always came to church early, sometimes an hour and a half early. And I remember that week he came, and it was time change, and he forgot to set his clock back, so he was there real early. Wednesdays are always busy. I'm running around. It was a Wednesday afternoon. And I was coming down out of my office. I was carrying a bunch of music, and the lights were out. I already turned the lights out, and Brother Polk was standing on the second floor there, all right, not as you go up the steps, you know, that second floor there. And the lights were out, and I'm coming down the steps, and he goes, "Hey, Brother Mark." That music went everywhere. Scared me to death, okay? Imagine seeing the angel of the Lord. Look what the Bible says they did. Now, I would do the same thing. It says in verse 20, and Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons and with him hid themselves. They ran away. That scared them, okay? I'll be honest with you, there's several times I've been in this building, and I don't get scared too easy, but I've been scared before, okay? Hearing noises and all those kind of things. They ran and hid themselves. Now, Ornan was threshing wheat. Basically just saying Ornan was a simple man, doing what he was supposed to do, working hard. Wasn't a preacher, wasn't a missionary, wasn't any of that. He was just a simple man doing his work that God had called him to do. The talent God had given him, he was using it. And so, so Ornan sees the angel of the Lord. Verse 21. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Just think about Ornan, okay? He's just been scared to death by the angel. Goes back to doing a little bit of work, and then he turns around. There's the king, okay? And I like what Ornan did. He went and honored the king. The Bible says here he bowed himself to David. He was respectful to authority. Well, that's something we're missing today. Respect to authority. That's another whole message, so I'm not going to get there, or we'll run out of time. But we need that today. Working with young people and adults and just out in the world, we see there's a lack of respect for authority. And that's all we'll say there. He went to his face and with his face to the ground. Verse 22, David, I believe, humbly said to him, he said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of thy threshing floor, that I might build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it for me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." I can just imagine David. He's probably begging Ornan, I've got to have this. It's a commandment from God, and I've disobeyed God in the past, and I can't do it now. I need this land. I know you're in the middle of your work, and you need this, but I'll pay you whatever it takes. I need what you have. I need the threshing floor. I need to work with you, because if I don't do this, the plague's not going to stop. But if you'll agree, you and I together, we can stop the plague, and the killing can stop from our people. Look at verse 23. And Ornan said unto David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do with that which is good in his eyes." He trusted David. He trusted the king. He had a good testimony that he was a man of God. And so he said, do which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen. Not only giving him the threshing floor, he said, I'll give thee the oxen for burnt offerings and the threshing instruments for wood and the wheat for the meat offerings. And what did he say? I give it all. I give it all. God's asking us to give it all. And I know our time's gone. I just have three simple points tonight. It won't take long. About this story and about us giving all, surrendering all, what was the driving force for this sacrificial gift that Ornan gave to David? First of all, people were dying. The driving force of that people were dying. One man's sin, I mentioned already, has caused 70,000 men to die. We have about 7 billion people in the world today. And people are dying every day, spiritually, because of one man's sin. Adam sinned, and because of that, we're all sinners. There's so many people in the world, they don't have a Bible. If I forgot my Bible tonight, left it at home, I could rush up to my office and, well, I got another one I could pull out. You know, there's some people in this world, and that 7 billion people don't even have one page of the Word of God. And they're dying a spiritual death and going to hell. But not only did he see the people that were dying, he had an opportunity to be in partnership with the king. The king has asked him to do something. I guess Ornan could have probably said, no, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to give you what you want. It's mine. I need it. I need it for my living, and so you're not going to get it. But he didn't. There was no hesitation on Ornan's part. He said, I give it all. He saw he could be in partnership with the king. You know what? You and I tonight, there's people dying, and we can be in partnership with the King of Kings, to help reach those lost and dying folks. We're his instrument to do that. And so the king came to him. He said, I need what you have. And now he has an opportunity to be in partnership with the king. God's begging you tonight. God's begging me tonight. Will we go out to the world and tell them about Jesus Christ? He's asking us to partner with him. And the Holy Spirit, he'll go with us and help us as we tell others about Christ. You say, well, that's the preacher's job, or that's the deacon's job. No, that's everyone's job. It's everyone's responsibility to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll give us the strength. He'll partner with us so that we can do it. The second thing tonight, not only was there a driving force, there was a difference made. David and Ornan came together on the same page, and because these people were dying, he gave up his land so that he could build an altar. And when he built the altar and gave the sacrifice, the dying ceased. And the difference was made. What kind of difference are you and I making? If we'll go out and give the world the gospel, man, we are so blessed today in the opportunities we have to get the gospel out. I just think about 20 years ago, 40 years ago. We've got so many opportunities today to get the gospel out. We can use the things that the devil has taken and made bad, we can make it good. We can use social media. We can use the internet. We can use the TV stations and those things to get the gospel out. We have an opportunity to get the gospel all the way across the world like we've never had before. That's one reason we need to be involved in missions. I would just challenge you tonight. You and I can't reach every place in the world, but we have missionaries who can. And if you're not giving to missions, I would challenge you to give to missions. We can have an impact. We can make a difference in this world we live in. I think about mission giving. It's probably one of the most, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but I'll explain the word, okay, and then you'll know what word I'm talking about. You know, we give our tithes and offerings, and we can see things being done. You can see a new roof put on or whatever. But when we give missions, we're not going to see some of the results till we get to heaven. I'm looking forward to the day when someone comes to me and say, thank you for giving in missions. I'm talking about when we get to heaven now. Because of that, I'm here in heaven. I read a Bible that you helped put together. I read a piece of scripture. I heard a preacher preach that you helped send across the seas. When we see the nationals that come, the pastors that come, one of the first things they say, thank you, America, for sending missionaries to our country. Thank you for sending the white missionary to our church, to our country. We thank you. You know what's sad today? Those countries are sending missionaries back to America now. And that's a whole nother message also. We've never had to be the recipients of a missionary. We've had church. We've grown up in it. But we can make a difference. But you know what? Someone sacrificed for you so you could be here in this place. I think about the folks that got back together and said, we want Pine Bluff Baptist Church to be started again. Thank you, Brother Robert Phillips, for that. And others who helped to get this thing going again. And if it hadn't been for that, some of you would not know the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you might be bound to hell. And so someone made a sacrifice, and I think about even the sacrifices we make for the camp and all the lives that have been changed and all the souls that have been saved through the camp. And then the last thing tonight, we not only see a driving force and a difference being made, but we also see a destiny. We'll never know how many people we've touched. What I like here about Ornan, his spirit, and this ought to be our spirit. I don't know of anyone who's ever said, all right, I give up everything. Lord, I'm selling my car, I'm selling my house, I give up everything and you just take care of me. I've never met anyone like that. We always hang on to something. But he had a spirit about him and how did he come about that spirit, that destiny that he was facing? First of all, the king took care of him. Look at verse 25. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the king took care of him. Let me tell you, folks, if we'll give everything to the Lord, if we'll surrender all, God will take care of us. How many of you have been faithful giving for years and years and years, and you haven't missed out on anything? God's taking care of you. When the times have been tough, when things have been hard, God's been there and he's taking care of you. But then I think of the last thing. Not only did the king take care of Ornan, a great testimony was left. Just turn over a few chapters to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. We don't read a lot about Ornan in the Word of God, but I want to show you something here. The legacy that Ornan left behind because he gave it all. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. What a legacy. And there's so much I read about just this one verse, so many things I read about this one verse. Remember Mount Moriah? What happened at Mount Moriah? It's a place of sacrifice. And God wants us to be willing to surrender all, to sacrifice all, so that we can leave a legacy. I think of my children. I've mentioned this many times. I think of my grandchildren. But I want to leave a legacy for them. I remember getting my first job, and my dad taught me how to give. He said, you need to save a dime from every dollar. I was only making about $3 when I was a paper boy, all right? But, you know, I've tried to share that on and be an example to my kids. I wouldn't miss giving the faith promise giving because I wouldn't want that to be passed down to my kids. Because as our pastor and Brother Bruce has said many times, what we do in moderation, our kids do in excess. I want them to realize if we sacrifice and give, and I'm not just talking about monetary. Ornan is a good example. He didn't just give up monetary. He gave it all. I'm asking you tonight, what is your legacy? What are you leaving behind? Are you leaving an example? Are you leaving a testimony? He had a testimony here. But you know what took place in the same place later on? A place called Golgotha. And the ultimate sacrifice was given when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave his life so that we could have salvation. Aren't you thankful God said, all right, I give it all. Tonight, we as Christians, we need to say, I give it all. Will you surrender all tonight?